shut up, or make peace. That is what the young Saudi crown prince has said about Palestinians regarding a so-called peace agreement while addressing Jewish leaders. Why would he be in front of Jewish leaders? And why would he address such a sensitive issue in such a manner? In this debate, we will look at the Saudi role when it comes to Palestine and why the Saudi prince thinks that Palestinians, including the PA, should believe that he will have their backs if he is now aligned with Israel. Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, journalist and political commentator Marwa Osman, joins us from Beirut, and professor at the University of Buckingham, Jeffrey Elderman, joins us from London. Welcome. Marwa Osman, let me start with you. Some people are scratching their heads saying, really? When it comes to this vulgar language that was used to address such a sensitive issue, what was, first of all, MBS doing in front of Jewish leaders, and was he trying to impress them by addressing this topic in such a manner?
What do you mean what he was doing in front of Jewish leaders? You already visited Israeli entities, colonial settlers' position inside the Palestinian occupied territories. According to several Israeli reporters, already he made that trip in 2017. And I mean, Mohammed bin Salman has very much been vocal about his openness to a coordination, if not a full normalization economically and diplomatically with the Zionist entity on the expense of the Palestinians and their rights, because he keeps saying that we believe, as Saudi Arabia, we believe in securing the rights of the Palestinians. What is the right of the Palestinian if it's not the right of the return, if it's not the right of having his land liberated, and if it's not the right to not be killed? I mean, for the past 4 weeks, Palestinians have been sniped like ducks, like sitting ducks in Gaza. What was MBS doing? He was actually having a nice trip along in Washington, all along the U.S., and then a small trip in Europe as well. But look, this was not a surprise. The surprise is that it's actually taking longer than we expected. Because ever since we saw former General Anwar Ashqi in his trip with several Saudi officials, with his trip to the Israeli entity to occupy Palestinian territories in 2016, we were sure that it wouldn't take more than a few months before we would hear something from the regime inside of Saudi Arabia, the monarchs of Saudi Arabia, openly saying that we are open for normalization and for cooperation with the Israeli entity. But it's taking longer than expected, and that has to do with the regional conflicts, that has to do with the continuous aggression of Saudi Arabia on Yemen, and it has to do with the major gains that the Syrian Arab Army has been doing along its allies inside of Syria, which has basically postponed or delayed many of MBS, of Mohammed bin Salman's plans for the region.
Well, Jeffrey Alderman, let's pretend that the Palestinians actually listen to this young prince, and they would, well, to use his words, shut up and actually make peace. What peace is he talking about? What type of peace agreements is he referring to? Because as far as we know, one has not been even presented yet.
Yes. I'm assuming that he can only be referring to the so-called Saudi peace plan, which was floated quite some time ago. But in reality, there is no peace negotiation at the moment. It doesn't exist. And I can only assume that the most that the Saudis would offer the Palestinians would be a sort of internal self-government in areas A and B under the Oslo Accords on the West Bank and in Gaza, some form of home rule of internal self-government. That is the most that the Saudis could realistically expect the Israelis to give. We have to add, as we're considering this, that to all intents and purposes, there are diplomatic relations between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Some weeks ago, a friend of mine in Israel sent me a most astonishing photograph. It was of a tourist car in Tel Aviv with Saudi Arabian number plates on it. Absolutely astonishing. That's the extent of the rapprochement between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
So, Marwa Osman, are we to think and conclude here that this so-called peace agreement that is going to be released at some point is devised, or has Saudi Arabia playing a major role in writing it, along with, I'm guessing, Israel and, of course, the U.S.?
Well, you could, basically, the answer for your question is Gaza is the continuous great return march in Gaza that has been going on for the past month now, for 4 weeks, four Fridays to be exact. And we have lost a lot of young men. We have had a lot of martyrs, a lot of people who have lost limbs because of the sniping of the Israeli entities, vile occupation soldiers. But the thing is, Mohammed bin Salman thinks that he is capable of bringing the Palestinian Authority to the table to try and broker a certain deal under the administration of Donald Trump. But the thing is that Mahmoud Abbas himself, the Palestinian Authority itself, inside the West Bank, it has a lot of problems. There's a lot of division within the authority itself. Not to mention that Gaza is basically split politically and militarily from the authority inside of the West Bank. Now, giving Palestinians will take their right to retain their land, will take their right to return. They will not wait for anyone. Trust me on this. We are watching it live in Gaza as we speak, as we have seen for the past 4 weeks. But when we talk about a certain brokered, let's say, to be brokered peace deal, including the Palestinian Authority, how much authority and how much influence does Mahmoud Abbas or the Palestinian Authority have over Gaza, for example? Gaza, the actual open air prison that people are suffocating inside of Gaza. Egypt is suffocating them. Obviously, the occupation is suffocating them. And Mahmoud Abbas himself is doing nothing to help them. So what kind of a peace deal would get these people to settle down and give them their freedom, give them their life, their existence? No peace deal would be given or accepted by the Palestinians themselves, by the public, if it does not include Palestine as a whole. You cannot give two pieces, chunks of land that are separate by colonial settlers and tell them, well, do your own state, govern yourself in these two separate swaths of land, and you can call it Palestine. There you go. No, this is not going to happen. It's been more than 60 years of struggle. It's just not going to end now just because Mohammed bin Salman wants it to. It will not.
Jeff Yalderman, our guest there in Beirut, has on two occasions now brought up the issue of Gaza and how Palestinians there are being massacred. Much of the international community has pretty much sided with that part of it in terms of Israel using excessive force. The U.S. has defended Israel on that note. So based on that, I'm going to lead into this question. The report indicating the U.S. administration is finishing up its Middle East peace plan, the so-called peace plan, that it intends to make public soon. This is based from the New York Times. But it says that they have a problem. The White House just can't figure out when to present the plan so it's not immediately rejected by Palestinians. Palestinians are being killed. I think the death toll is up to 50 or more. You have a few thousand of them at this point being injured. Do you think there's even a chance for a U.S. presentation of a so-called peace plan to be accepted by Palestinians while they're being slaughtered?
Well, I think, you know, Donald Trump seems to be a man of his word. If he says he'll present a peace plan, we must assume he'll present a peace plan. But, you know, we have a saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And I have to say, at the moment, I don't see any realistic prospect of any credible Palestinian leadership on the West Bank or Gaza accepting any peace plan promoted or proposed or supported by Donald Trump. I have to be brutally frank about this. I don't see any prospect at the moment of such a plan being accepted.
And why is that?
It's because the aspirations of numerous Palestinian leaderships are completely out of kilter with the realities on the ground. Israel will never concede the right of return, so-called, of Palestinian refugees and their descendants into metropolitan Israel. This is not going to happen.
Okay. Well, Marwa Osman, you heard there, and this is something that, of course, Palestinians are not going to accept because it's dictating the terms, almost giving them no options. Your reaction to what Jeffrey Elderman said there?
Well, they are, because exactly, they are not not only they are not accepting it, they are actually active in not accepting it. This is what Gaza, the great march of return, is all about. We have had several youths who actually were able to reach the fence and cut it and try to enter to their own land, to the land of their ancestors, the land that they were kicked out by the occupation from. This is them saying, not only saying no, this is them acting on the no that they are saying. This is them saying that we will not wait for anyone to give us anything, because this is our right, we're going to take it with righteous resistance. But to be honest, it's being very painful. As you said, more than 50 martyrs, more than 2,000 injuries in a place where a much needed medical attention is not available. I was just reading a report this morning about how patients with kidney failures are like hours away from dying because the dialysis is not possible, because there's no electricity, because the medication is not there, because they're not able to get them out of Gaza for treatment, and they're not able to get medication for them into Gaza to treat them. So the situation is a catastrophic one. It's a genocidal one. Everyone is in on it, and I would put Mahmoud Abbas right there just next to Netanyahu because of this genocide, because he's doing nothing. It's been a month and he has done nothing yet. But yes, I do believe that the Palestinians will not agree unless they have the right of their return, and thus they have their right to have their own state, the Palestinian state. And I'll be honest with you, a viable solution would be an actual one state, not a two state solution. But Israel will never accept a one state solution for various reasons. We have a lot of variables that would end up in the favor of the Palestinians, and that's why Israel will not accept. So it's just going to continue as is, or it might just escalate into another intifada.
Well, let's go back to the young prince, Jeffrey Alderman, and get a reaction from you regarding what he has said. He said, in terms of Israel and the Palestinians, they have to make progress in peace negotiations basically before Saudi Arabia and other Persian Gulf countries could normalize relations with Israel. Why would that be a factor in this?
I don't think actually that it would be a factor. My own view is that the Saudi Crown Prince was saying that for public consumption, and that it bears only a tentative reality. On paper, I'm sure it's right that the Saudis would never make peace with Israel and enter into formal diplomatic relations and bring the state of belligerency that lasted from 1948 to an end without an agreement, a peace agreement on the Palestinian issue. But we all seem agreed on this on this debate this evening, that the likelihood of a Palestinian agreement, a peace agreement, is exceedingly small, or virtually non-existent. So therefore, what we will have, in my view, is a de facto peace between Saudi Arabia and Israel, as indeed we have at the moment, but not a de jure peace. In practice, there would be peace, but in theory, there won't be, so that the Saudis can turn around to the Palestinians and say, well, there you are, we haven't made peace with Israel.
There was a recent statement made by Saudi Arabia at a meeting that took place, Marwa Osman, and that was that even though the prince was reported to be on board with the so-called peace plan, Saudi Arabia actually pushed back against Trump and his announcement of moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem al-Quds. Why would Saudi Arabia actually do that, while at the same time seems like they're on board with the so-called peace agreement?
They cannot say they're okay with the theft of a capital. Al-Quds is the capital of all Muslims, not only of Palestinians themselves, of Palestine. It is the first Qibla, so it is a huge, important, iconic place for all Muslims around the world, and all Christians as well around the world. So they cannot just openly accept
and
such
Jews,
a thing, even if
Jews.
They under the table accept with Donald Trump and tell them I couldn't hear what he was saying. Anyways, so they cannot say
and
that yes,
Jews.
we agree with that notion of moving the embassy.
There's a delay. Go ahead, Marwa Osman. Jeffrey Alderman, we'll get to you.
I still cannot hear what he's saying. It's really hard to hear what Dr. Alderman is saying. Anyways, so basically, they will not openly say that they are okay with moving that embassy because it will create a wave of anger from the Muslim world and from the Christian world, because by saying that this is the capital of the Israeli entity, you're basically saying it's a Jewish city, the Christians have no right in it, the Muslims have no right in it. This will create a wave of anger. Saudi Arabia is not ready for that wave of anger. They are already angering a lot of Muslims around the world with the heavy and aggressive fight against Yemen. At the moment, you know, it's been more than 3 years and it's been genocidal, so they are already having a lot of burden handling that. No, by talking about such a deal happening and them accepting it, it would lead to disastrous and unanticipated maybe shockwaves of negative shockwaves against the monarchs of Al Saud. That's why they wouldn't accept. But look, Donald Trump, I think he will do what he said, because he's narcissistic to a point that he won't go back on his word. He most probably will this month move the embassy, but believe me, it's going to be catastrophic inside of the occupied Palestinian territories. It's going to be catastrophic for everyone, and especially for the Palestinians under the occupation. Trump will do it, but the shockwave will most definitely take out, it will lead out of Palestine into the region, and it will be maybe it will present some sort of a new wave of violence that we have never witnessed before, and it might be outside the Palestinian territories.
Well, Jeffrey Alderman, it's what Marwa Osman says. It's quite ironic how Trump recently, in a report that came out, has asked Netanyahu if he really cares about peace, okay, when he made an announcement that he wants to move the capital. And this was in reference to the settlements. And just yesterday, there was a report indicating that 300,000 hectares of land is going to be allocated to a railway system that's made exclusively for settlers, for the 65,000 settlers, amongst all the other announcements of a settlement, illegal settlement construction. So, two-part question. Trump, is he sincere? To Netanyahu, does he care about peace? I'm throwing that question to Netanyahu, to you.
I think that Trump would like some gesture from Netanyahu on the building of settlements in Judea and Samaria. But clearly, whatever Netanyahu's answer to that question is, Trump is going to move the embassy, the American embassy, to Jerusalem. I see that the road signs telling people where the embassy is in Jerusalem have already gone up. And I don't think that a negative from Netanyahu on the settlement issue will prevent Trump from going ahead with actually moving the embassy.
And same question to you, Marwa Osman. Does Netanyahu want peace?
Well, if you watch the presentation that Netanyahu gave at like an hour ago, you'd most definitely know he doesn't want any peace, not with the Palestinians, not with the other powers in the region. I mean, it was funny, but at the same time, it showed how much paranoid the man was, how much eager he was for war, whether inside or outside. On the inside, he is already giving the green light to kill Palestinians. We have seen that in Gaza. We have seen how the occupation works in the West Bank as well. They could go into any house and arrest anyone at any time of day. I mean, they're already, it is actually genocidal there as well. But I mean, if you have heard him today, the answer would be definitely he does not want any peace, because also he has a lot of issues, political issues, on the internal political spectrum inside of the Zionist entity, where he's not really, I mean, he has a lot of problems and he has a lot of cases, maybe lawsuits as well. So he's not doing well, and I think a war would be the only way for him out of it.
Very well. We're going to have to end it there. Thank you very much for that, journalist and political commentator Marwa Osman. And thank you, professor at the University of Buckingham, Jeffrey Alderman. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitavoy, the entire team of the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.